we went pretty late last night, and I'm curious whether anybody was here for a public forum today that perhaps was waiting to speak last night. Possibly might be able to speak early this morning. Okay, not seeing anybody. We do have a public forum at 1:30 today, not before 1:30. Okay, well, we do have public forum today.
18 is off the agenda. That's the day of the golf course.
Is it off? Postpone. Continue.
So she can't speak to that.
She can speak to it, but we're not going to have a public forum for 1:30.
Right.
So.
1:30.
It's at 1:30. Where are you traveling from?
I'm actually on my way into. I'm coming from Santa Cruz and I'm going to Spain.
You know, why don't you go ahead? Can I go ahead and have her? Why don't you
figure out work?
Go ahead and have her so you can be on your way. You've got only 3 minutes anyway, so. Good deal. Go ahead and please introduce yourself.
Hi, good morning. My name is Lori Hobbs, and I've spoke a few times at the water hearings here, but I'm disappointed to say that number 18 is off the agenda, first of all, but my concern is, and I think it's just the whole general area of the pollutants that are going into the Amarna Gulch area, and it's not only from the project of the golf course, it's also from the Frisbee area that adjoins that. And I had the opportunity to walk the site with some of the water board members. Mr. Briggs was present, and they were able to see the destruction that's occurring up there on a daily basis. And it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. This was last year, and I've been talking about this area for over 7 or 8 years now. And nothing has been done concerning that. Nothing has been cleaned up. Nothing has been planted. Nothing is basically just there. And that is attributing to the silt runoff and the loss of the ground that's happening and flowing into the harbor. That's attributing to it. And so I think it's a combination of maybe the golf course issue and this Frisbee area that's not being addressed. And I haven't seen anything on the website concerning the Frisbee area, anything being done, whether or not the city's going to take an active responsibility in letting that happen out there. So I'm just here to ask, you know, where it goes from here.
Thank you. Mr. Jeffries.
Mrs. Hobbs, I appreciate you going on the tour with Mr. Daniels and myself when we did tour the Amarna Gulch area. And you did point out several areas of concern. And I know that you're a resident above that Frisbee part. Do you have any suggestions to the board on how we can correct the runoff and the discharge from that Frisbee part? I know the ultimate thing is just shut it down and reseed it. But I hate to shut our recreational facilities down, but it's obvious to me that with the runoff that's occurring there, and since most of the most of the dirt is already gone, and it's down to basically bedrock. And it looks like to me with the runoff and heavy rains in that particular area, now it's eroding other location. Do you have any suggestions on what we could do? And I would ask the staff, Mr. Briggs, is, you know, that's a discharge, and it's to water quality. Where are we going to go with this? I know the staff made a report, and Bruce and I made a report to the board. I would like to see some action there. I think it's a critical area, and it's obvious that with other agencies that are trying to do something with limited funds, but I think the city of Santa Cruz has to step up to the plate and accept some responsibility or that Frisbee Park, even if they just had designated areas that they could go in. And because so much of the soil has been eroded away that the trees are dying out because of lack of nutrients and so forth around the root system.
Yeah, and the dead trees that have fallen and died were originally, they've been laying there for years and years, and we're seeing other trees being destroyed by the disease that's happening out there. It's not only just the foot traffic that's destroying the trees, but they're also getting the sudden of death out there. We're losing trees that way, and so it's not being cleaned up and hauled away with the property, you know, where it needs to go, these diseased trees, and it's laying where all the water's flowing, and it's being spread. And, you know, it's just a mess up there. And basically, we were told that there's only 3 park rangers in the whole Santa Cruz area taking care of all the parks that we have. And as everyone knows, we have many. This is really not a recreation area. It never had an EIR done on it. It was only supposed to be just a weekend thing with 2 baskets. Now it's 20 baskets. It's now called the World Class Frisbee Area. And it doesn't allow anybody else to use the area. You can't walk it, you can't ride your bikes. You can barely drive through there without getting, you know, people, dogs, frisbees flying at your cars. And it's a mess. And no one for the people to park. It's definitely the lost world out there. And this is attributing to this sediment problem. And I'm hoping that the board will address that area also.
Perhaps Mr. Briggs can look at that and tell us where we're at with this island, when it's coming back, if it's coming back.
Well, it's not coming back, it's an action item. And as we discussed after during the tour, of course, we're out there with representatives from other agencies, and the Resource Conservation District has a number of projects that are either underway or that are proposed in the watershed. And of course, they're looking for funding. As is typical with watershed projects like this. And so we talked about 2 sources of funding that for the regional board comes into play. One, of course, is through grant funding with proposition funding. And as we discussed, one of the difficulties is that there's a high priority given to listed and compared water bodies, and this is not one of them. Not that that's necessarily accurate, but that's the case. That is, we've seen plenty of silt problems, so it seems to be impaired from the standpoint of sediment. We're talking about the ramifications of that sediment last night in the Santa Cruz Harbor, which we kind of seen from here. So there's a difficulty with proposition grant funding because of it not being listed as a water body. That doesn't mean it's impossible. It's an uphill battle. And then the other avenue that we mentioned was the possibility of supplemental environmental project funding if there's an enforcement action. And of course, the greater nexus there is with an enforcement action in terms of the geographic area and the nature of the problem, the better in terms of being able to come up with a supplemental environmental project that might go towards something like Frisbee Park. And lo and behold, we will be taking up enforcement action in the watershed for sediment erosion problems at the next regularly scheduled meeting. So there is some potential there for supplemental environmental project, but it is up to the project applicant to propose such a project. And we haven't gotten far enough down that path to be discussing that yet. But I would say that is a possibility.
Can you explain for us why we're continuing to then
When we sent the complaint out, it was pretty close to the bare minimum as far as the lead time before the agenda. And the city made a number of requests for the documents for their preparation to defend themselves in the case. And I think just as a matter of due process consideration, we granted the request. That was the only issue.
Mr. Daniels.
What is the cycle for the 303D listing process? When can we get this organic on that listing?
That's a good question. It's certainly not a short process.
It's a four-year cycle.
No, I don't think it's that long.
The statute says it's 2 years, but it tends to get behind schedule. I think the list that was adopted in 2004 was the 2002 list. But it's supposed to be a two-year process, so it's kind of a continuous cycle. I'm not sure when the state board's going to approve the next one, but the process is that the regional boards propose listings and the state board adopts the list.
Well, I'd like to see us consider this site for this watershed for listing. Because I think it's quite clear that it's compared to settlements. I did the photographs of the hardest to look settlement to see that. So it shouldn't be deemed difficult.
And a screen from the harbor, too.
Yeah. And the second question I have is there a possibility for some kind of enforcement action for stormwater difficulties? So I understand this site actually is not owned by the city, but it is operated by the city. They use the property, so I guess we have to proceed against both the city and the actual owner. But is there any possibility of encouraging the city to take responsibility for this site and take that property?
Well, certainly the potential for encouragement as far as where we stand legally for whether it would be considered violations or not, I guess it would be akin to a golf course. And it's not a construction site, so it doesn't fall under the construction normal permit. But I guess it would be a facility that would fall under the industrial. Wouldn't be an industrial SIC designation. So I don't know the answer to that.
Mr. Briggs, I can remember that we did an enforcement against a city on a park that had done some rearrangements to the park.
That was an instruction, if you think of the city of Rio Grande.
It's obvious that they haven't taken any erosion control methods for the park, and that's the reason that they have the runoff and the discharge.
Yeah, I think Ms. Oaken's going to get some light on that.
Oh, good.
It's not covered by MPDS because it's not a construction or industrial site, but if they're discharging waste, it's still subject to Porter Cologne.
Yeah.
So if they're violating any basin plan prohibitions on BMPs that are required for any type of soil disturbance, that would be the subject of an enforcement action. And if not, we can send them a letter requiring them to have WDRs to prevent the further discharges of waste to water. And the WDRs would probably look similar to a construction permit.
Well, I think we need to start somewhere. I was going to comment on the same thing that Bruce brought up, and so I'll just second his thoughts. But I think, Bruce and I have both seen it, and the staff and some of the local residents that took the tour with us. I think we have a better understanding of the terrain and the problems up there. Of course, Santa Cruz Mountains has major events every time it rains. No question about that. So they should be prepared for that type of runoff, and all the topsoil is gone from there, which is bare rock.
And the difficulty is that it's at such an elevation that all this bare rock means there's this great source of runoff where it used to percolate in. Now it just runs right off, so everything downstream from there all the way to the ocean is now being overstressed and failing. So the whole system is failing because of that site. Mr. Howe?
I'm new today, so I just need to get a little better visual for this. But this is a Frisbee park that you're talking about. And I'm assuming that they have these poles with these chains hanging down and they go up into the, like a golf course.
What it is it's called the wilderness area, La Viega.
So my question is, so that with all that existing, they say there's runoff and the rocks are coming. So obviously it's a non-irrigated park and there's no grass.
Right. Yeah.
How can that be any fun?
That's definitely our turn.
It doesn't make sense to me that you could have a park where people come and run and play and have no grass.
It's not a park. It's a wilderness area, and they posted it as such. What happened was, and it's kind of, it is a political thing going on there. It's the National Guard had this lease of the property. They had no clue that the city allowed a couple of frisbee players to go out and put a couple baskets up and practice. Well, the couple of frisbee players turned into hundreds of thousands, and now it's a huge group, and they've got several political agencies backing them.
So they constructed those.
They constructed them. They're concrete. That's right.
So it is a construction site.
Not anymore.
And the sergeant that operates the armory out there told me that they never had any IR to do it, nor did they have the permission of the military to do it. That the city granted the permission. And I was told by Jim Lang of City Parks, he used to be Danette Shoemaker's position before he retired. He told me that the city allowed them to do that and it got out of control. And now they have no control. So the only way that anything is going to get done, because there's so much politics involved, is if the board steps in and does something. That's the only way that they're going to do anything. That's why I'm here.
Well, is this enforcement action step in that direction?
It will definitely be, because what's happening is Senator McPherson created a bill for this area to trade the front piece by the armory for the back piece. And so basically what the city did was they said, okay, National Guard, you get the Frisbee area, you want the front. And this bill allows it to happen. But the military is standing your ground saying, we don't want a recreation area, we don't want a mess. And that's basically what we're getting. And then we're going to be the bad guy to shut the thing down. We already stand for the fight of the military. So there's this fight going back and forth, and nobody's doing anything. And so it's just getting worse and worse. It's really bad. That's why I'm here.
Doesn't like the military.
Well, they're, yeah.
If the military goes away, then so does a lot of dollars in the
city. Well, I understand that. But we've got a college there, and it's definitely not something that's very well respected. So it's a big political fight. And in the middle of it all is this area that's being destroyed, literally.
It would be nice if we took the dredge spoils and trucked them back up there and spread them over the which it came.
And then plant lawn on top.
Well, I don't know if you can plant lawn, because it is a wilderness area, it's the top of the state. But as I would guess the slopes are anywhere from 3% to 20% in that particular area. And with all that topsoil and all that grading is towards a random gulch creek. What it does when you have a major event up there, it just becomes a torrent that just runs off of this one large, probably a 10-acre, 15-acre site, and runs across the road down around towards around the gulch, and now it's eroding other locations because it's just running off so fast. There's nothing to stop it. So I'm agreeing with Mr. Daniels and see what the staff can come up with and move forward on this, because something needs to be done. We just can't. It's a discharge. To me, it's an illegal discharge, and we would be handling that just like we'd do anything else. So,
like we were told during the inspection that we've made, that historically those soils up there were 3 feet thick and very, very sandy soils, and so it was like a sponge. You could have a 4-inch rain up there and you wouldn't get a drop of runoff because it would all soak in. And by replacing, and by the way, it's not just from the Frisbee Park, that certainly adds to it, but historically it's been used in the past. It was a training ground during World War I that run tanks up and down the hills. And so it was, you know, really destroyed. And you replace essentially a perfect sponge with essentially concrete. And this volume of runoff is just not consistent in sand. So it's crazy down.
Is that out of the direction you think?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Thank you very much.
Ms. Hawkins, are you on our interested parties list for the demo of the component of the golf course component?
I don't think so.
Did you get a copy of it?
No. I actually just keep an eye on your website and your meetings and what's going to transpire. And was able to see that they were having a meeting today, and so I took the time to come. They also had an article in last night's paper concerning a violation. So I went on last night and read the attachments off and looked at it. But I would definitely like to be
put on. Right on your name list, write your name and address down.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just one more comment on Della Vega, and since Mrs. Hoff is here, that brings to the point that, you know, I understand why the staff and the chair delayed the Della Vega issue, the notice and so forth. But now we're going to hear this item in San Luis Obispo, and that makes it very difficult for the local citizens like Mrs. Hoff, since she could attend in San Luis Obispo to drive that distance for that particular. All right, and I know staff trying to put it on this one, but for here at the Watsonville, which is convenient, but I some of these are very sensitive items, and I know staff tries very hard, and I congratulate them for doing that, but I just wanted to point out, Mr. Chair, that if we had this in San Luis Obispo, we wouldn't have probably this type of incident coming from a resident. So thank you very much for that.
Is there a way that it can be put onto a local agenda? Or?
I'll say our next would not be until January or February.
I'm sure you'd like us to deal with this sooner than later.
I do.
And to bring it back up here means much later. So
it's just harder to keep track of what's being said, what the excuses are, because it's one excuse after another why they're not.
What you can do is if you go get the agenda items sent to you, you can check the website, make sure you have a return. You can ask staff for any correspondence submitted by the discharger, and you can fax in your comments to us and ask that they be included, you know, for